Blog Talk Radio.
Earthing, also known as grounding, is the act of touching our body's skin directly to the earth, just like our ancestors did as they slept, sat, and walked on the ground nearly every day of their lives. This simple connection allows Earth's natural negative electrons to enter the human body, pacifying dangerous free radicals, which, if left unchecked, can cause severe damage to cells that can lead to many chronic diseases. Ground Therapy's patented process and suite of products were designed for you to experience all the benefits of grounding in your busy and modern lifestyle. And you'll experience the benefits of grounding within the safety and comfort of your home or office throughout the entire day, just as if you were touching the earth itself.
The information is provided for general informational purposes only. The contents are not intended or implied to be a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Ground Therapy Incorporated makes no representations about the efficiency, appropriateness, or suitability of any specific tests, procedures, treatments, services, opinions, healthcare providers, or other information that may be contained in or available through the information provided.
Hey everyone, Proof here again. I want to let you know that you want to protect yourself against this upcoming food shortage that's about to happen. I know with all this COVID stuff that growing your own food is going to be extremely important right now. So I want to introduce you to my friends over at groundwithagarden.com, and you can get yourself hooked up with a vertical garden that you can grow inside or outside of your house. So if you have a back patio or you don't have room outside, you can grow in either way. And I have a bunch of stuff growing on mine. I have pictures to share. I love this thing. This is the best garden and most successful that I've ever had for gardening for my own self. So let me give you the website again, groundwithagarden.com. That's groundwithagarden.com.
Most people say they hate wearing shoes and would go barefoot if they knew they were allowed. People say it all the time on their social medias, but they are worried that someone will say something to them. So everyone wears the cheapest flip-flops with the least amount of fabric on them. Most people do not even know that it's completely 100% legal to go barefoot into a store. Most people think that driving barefoot is illegal, but it isn't. Driving barefoot actually is safer than wearing most shoes. Going outside barefoot for a walk is one of the healthiest things you could do, but most people are afraid someone will say something. Or they quote the myths and the rumors that their grandma told them years ago. The fact is, there are no laws against driving a car, going to a store, or eating in a restaurant barefoot. So don't give in to bad fashion, hurt heels, or a broken flip-flop. For more information, please check out barefootislegal.org or find us on your favorite social media.
Just as ungrounded signals wreak havoc on radio communications, there's growing concern that because we are not grounded, we absorb tremendous amounts of electromagnetic radiation from our modern devices. EMF stands for electromagnetic field.
We are all immersed in electromagnetic fields from Wi-Fi, from the wiring in our homes, and it disturbs our electrical balance. We get charged. Inside of our bodies, we get electrically charged. Some people have as much as 20 volts on their bodies, and that's not good for you.
The information is provided for general informational purposes only. The contents are not intended or implied to be a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Ground Therapy Incorporated makes no representations about the efficiency, appropriateness, or suitability of any specific tests, procedures, treatments, services, opinions, healthcare providers, or other information that may be contained in or available through the information provided.
Freaks, outsiders, weirdos, the wallflowers, oddball loser, fish out of water, speak up, talk quieter. We are different. There's no arguing. It's a fact. A patchwork of flaws, we grow and adapt. We're funky, unconventional, see life through kaleidoscope eyes. In a field full of clovers, with our four leaves, we bask in blue skies. Flaws are natural. Our imperfections, our weaknesses, our scars. There is a misfit in all of us. We just have to be brave enough to embrace who we are.
Hello, folks. We are here with Barefoot is Legal Radio. Barefoot is Legal is a 501c3 nonprofit organization dedicated to the rights and legalities of living the barefoot lifestyle, as well as sharing general information, support, and just kind of adding more information and just viewpoints to the barefooting lifestyle. Unfortunately, it is still something that is stigmatized. It is still something that is discriminated against, which is crazy considering there are no laws or health codes against barefooting. It is not illegal, and most people, unfortunately, don't know that, and it's really hard to be able to, you know, combat a lot of that, you know, propaganda, if you will, you know, and those just negative discriminatory attitudes or the stigmas without information, without looking at the different eccentricities or the different aspects of barefooting. And, you know, no two barefooters are the same, just like no two people are the same. And I think it's really important to understand that, you know, we are human beings. You know, we're living the human experience, and if you're a spiritual person, you know, you may believe that, you know, we are some kind of more soul-like or some kind of higher spiritualness is within us, so, you know, like we're just souls having the human experience. And, you know, like, and my whole thing is, you know, I am not here to tell people what to believe. In terms of, you know, their spirituality and their religion. But at the same time, there are some harmful belief systems, like believing that, you know, barefooting is inherently dangerous. That is a harmful belief system. And so it's really hard because it's like, you know, I'm a person, I respect what people believe, like whatever your faith is, as long as, you know, you're not inciting violence or believe in enacting violence on innocent people, you know, as long as you're not rooted in hate, you know, you do you. But at the same time, it is really important for us as individuals to challenge our different belief systems. Belief systems aren't just faith or religion or spirituality. Belief systems have to do with everything, every schema, every structure, just every mental organization that we personally have towards anything, that is a belief system. And there is a problem when people's belief systems contradicts evidence, like actual empirical evidence or observable data. And then it's like, okay, but what happens when, you know, people have, you know, different empirical data or observable information that contradicts each other? Well, that's when you have to realize that multiple realities exist and multiple truths exist and can exist within one thing. And barefooting, you know, is a key example of that. You know, not everybody can barefoot and not everybody can wear shoes. Not everybody is going to barefoot in the same way and not everybody wears shoes in the same way. We are all individuals living the human experience. And we need to remember that the human experience isn't just being in our heads. The human experience is emotional, it's physical, it's energetic, like literal energy, like electromagnetic fields, like science stuff. And I've I know I've talked about electromagnetism and like electromagnetic fields in the past on here, and that's actually what EMF stands for. EMR is electromagnetic radiation, and these are all, honestly, a lot of them are just different terms for what's happening with light and the existence of light, or excuse me. Ooh. I have another one. Sorry, guys. I'm like burping out my hair. And I don't know if I introduced myself today. I kind of just jumped straight into things. I am Phoenix. I am solo hosting Barefoot is Legal Radio today. Audrey, unfortunately, couldn't be here because of some medical reasons. But she is okay, you know, and she's not in any immediate danger or anything, but she could not be on today due to some medical reasons. But, you know, any good energy and good vibes you have to send towards her, of course, welcome. But, you know, she's not in any, like, immediate danger or anything, so I don't want anybody, like, worrying. And for those of you, you know, that do listen fairly often, you probably know that, you know, Audrey and I are two neurodivergent individuals. We also have, you know, our own chronic health issues. And so, you know, sometimes these things happen when you have chronic health issues. But everybody, you know, is safe at the end of the day, you know. So there's nothing to worry, but she's just going to be here today. So I'm Phoenix. I'm going to be solo hosting. And if you're new here, hello, welcome. I don't know exactly why you're stumbling across Barefoot is Legal if you are new here, but hello and welcome. We always are, you know, want to expand our message for other people to hear. And it's really important to remember that there are no laws or health codes against barefooting in the United States. There isn't. The no shirt, no shoes, no service signs, those are illegal. They are propaganda. And it's important to understand that body autonomy is very, very important. And people can understand, like, okay, what does body autonomy have to do with barefooting? Body autonomy has a lot to do with barefooting. Barefooting has a lot to do with body autonomy because they are a part of our bodies. And like I said before, we are individuals living the human experience. And that is a physical experience as well with our bodies. And I think a lot of people have been disconnected from our bodies. And I think that's why we do, you know, see a lot of the issues that we have, in general within society and within interpersonal relationships. A lot of people don't always empathize and realize other people's needs and what their experiences in their bodies are like. And I think it goes back to the fact that we, a lot of us, don't validate our own. And a lot of us don't listen to our own bodies and whatever its natural needs are, even food and hunger. And I know for myself, like, I, you know, talk a lot about, like, healing and listening to your body. For me, you know, being on the autism spectrum, like, in the way that I show autism, like, I really do struggle with the executive function of, in general, just knowing when I'm hungry, my body's telling me when it's hungry, when it needs certain things. So if you're, you know, someone who's neurodivergent in that way, like me, then, you know, that can also be its own challenge of just your body's not sending the proper communication signals to your brain to remind you that, hey, you need to eat, like, you need to drink water, like, and, oh, you need to go to the bathroom, like, even sometimes, like, for me, like, I'm, like, you know, and I also, with, you know, having some endometriosis issues that also has affected my bladder, but, like, for me, I don't realize I have to go to the bathroom until, like, I have to go now, you know, and then, or I don't realize that I'm thirsty until I'm, like, oh, my God, I need to drink water, like, now. Or, oh, I don't realize I'm hungry until I need to eat now. And that can be a big struggle for a lot of us neurodivergent people. And routine is something that can help, you know, if you can get your body into a routine of eating at certain times, whether or not your body's sending signals or not. You know, comfort and safe foods are really a great way to start implementing, you know, with a routine and, you know, something. And say, you know, I think most people who are neurodivergent understand what safe foods are. If you don't, you know, that's something that, you know, is texturally pleasing, taste is pleasing, and it seems to, you know, suffice a body need as well. So even for me, sometimes like French fries is a safe food. I have sodium deficiency issues because of other health issues, and between like the texture, the crispiness in general, while also being soft enough, and then the salt, like for me, like French fries can be a comfort food at times for when I really need to eat, but I can't get myself to eat anything. And also, you know, like have that sodium, so it definitely helps. And so it is hard. And, you know, I also just want to, you know, shed light on neurodivergent issues because this is something that we don't always talk about. We should, though. A lot more people, as we're realizing, you know, now, and we will continue to realize more and more in the coming years, a lot more people are neurodivergent than we ever anticipated. A lot of women have been misdiagnosed. You know, for me, I feel like I faced a lot of ostracization, and I won't really get into it. And people making a lot of assumptions about me. Before I even knew I had autism, and it's been really hard to realize that, like, oh, I was showing signs the whole time, and how, you know, school and different authority figures, like, you know, really forced me to mask so heavily that it has even impacted my physical health. And a lot of these things that we're forced to mask with aren't things that are actually harmful. And when we are forced to mask the things that are harmful, that's actually more likely for us to have, you know, meltdowns. And that includes meltdowns where if you're someone on autism spectrum like me, where body autonomy is a huge thing, that can lead to more intense meltdowns where you feel like your body autonomy has been violated and you've just reached a point because of the way people are treating you and not allowing you, you know, like to be yourself. And if we would actually just allow things that are normal neurodivergent things that aren't harmful to exist, this would actually help keep those harmful things from happening. And because a lot of the times the more harmful things with being neurodivergent happen when a person is overstimulated and or has reached a point of, you know, a strong sense of justice where they feel like their autonomy has, you know, hasn't been respected or, have, you know, they feel like it's been violated. So I think it's really important to just normalize existence because when we're all repressed and ashamed and we don't feel like we belong, we don't feel accepted, and we don't feel like valid people for living human experience, that's actually going to cause people to act out. You know, and I'm not saying like, oh, I'm not justifying, you know, bad, you know, like behaviors, but, you know, something I have noticed, especially like working as a nanny, and one of the kids, you know, is on the autism spectrum and is in the process of getting diagnosed. And it was weird because even before I found out I had autism, because I've been watching, or like nannying or watching these kids, whatever you want to call it, for a couple of years now, and I started noticing, like, you know, how much, you know, she was like me, and when I was younger and stuff, and so I really tried to help her, like, through her meltdowns and showing her any other kids and they're having intensive emotions, how they can work through them and how they can, you know, be safe themselves will also make each other feel safer, and which has been hard, you know, for me, like, that's something that I really had to learn as an adult, you know, because of the environments I grew up in. And it's really important to understand that people are going to act out, especially kids, teenagers, young adults, when they don't feel respected, when they don't feel like their autonomy is respected. So, and autonomy can be body, your body, as well as just personal authority over your being, yourself, your life, and your choices. When you don't have those kinds of freedoms, or you aren't perceiving that you have those kinds of freedoms, then that can cause a lot of behavioral issues. And what I've had to realize too with, like, you know, working with kids is that some things that are immediately labeled behavioral issues that then, yes, will develop into long-term behavioral issues are actually can be sensory issues, neurodivergent issues, emotional processing issues, or just not understanding what's going on in that situation. So they feel uncomfortable. And that could be as simple as you just need to sit down and explain it to them. Because sometimes when kids get confused or overwhelmed and they don't understand something you're trying to tell them or you're teaching them, even if it's in school, like that can cause, you know, meltdowns even, especially if the kids are neurodivergent, but even in general, that can be really frustrating and cause, you know, issues with kids, especially if they feel like, you know, you're telling them that they're stupid because they're not understanding it. So it's like there's a lot of things that, you know, that we look at as behavioral issues that aren't actually behavioral issues and actually have deeper root causes. And as if we could actually address and acknowledge these root causes, these emotional behaviors, these stimulation issues, whatever, or sensory issues, if we could, especially when an individual is younger, if we could just address them and then find healthy coping strategies, how to, and healthy coping strategies is also how you can keep the behaviors in check. I understand that you want to do this or you want to have this kind of reaction, but this is here how we can, you know, deal with this instead. Or sometimes too with the kids that I nanny, sometimes they need to have emotional reaction, especially one who's on the autism spectrum. But, you know, I pull her into her bedroom and, you know, we sit and we talk and I can tell her, like, do you want to talk about it or do you want me to leave? Sometimes I'll ask her some questions to kind of gauge where she's at, just kind of treat her like a person, you know, and also just like, okay, what's going on? But sometimes I tell her, I was like, do you need to scream? Do you need to cry? Like, especially, you know, since she's 5 years old, like, I understand that, you know, sometimes you think, especially being, you know, autistic, like, you need to have those tantrums. And so because really they're not tantrums, they're meltdowns. Because tantrums a lot of times are manipulation tactics that, yes, kids can be manipulative at times, but meltdowns are very different. It's because her nervous system needs re-regulated. So, you know, as long as she's in her bedroom and the other kids are safe and, you know, I tell her if you need to throw something, you know, throw your own belongings, preferably like your own pillows or blankets, something that isn't going to break. But if you need to scream, scream. If you need to cry, just cry. Just in your room or, you know, since she also just share a room with her sister, like if her sister needs to be there and there instead, you know, if they go to the bathroom and, you know, if you need to just scream, like you will find a safe place where everybody is safe. You can have your emotional reaction. And then once you calm down, talk about it. And then we have those conversations where I allow all the kids to have their emotional reactions, but in a safe place where everyone else is safe and they are also safe to have their reaction. Because now, if they're throwing things, I don't even allow them to throw pillows towards other people or at each other or anything like that if they're upset. Like, it's one thing if they're having, like, a playing pillow fight, but you know what I mean? So, and I feel like this is an important principle, and, like, I feel like me explaining this can help a lot of people understand a lot of things. And I will relate this back to barefooting, I promise, because there's a lot on my brain today. You know, I allow them to have their emotional reactions as needed, but I make sure everyone is safe. And that's the biggest thing. But if, you know, one of them is having an intense emotional episode and around everyone else and they're screaming at the others and they're throwing things at others, that's an unsafe situation. But unfortunately, especially when you're a child and you have autism, when you're having a meltdown, you don't look at it that way. And even if a neurotypical child having a emotional breakdown or whatever, like especially in more extreme situations, because you have to remember that a lot of behavioral issues that we see in kids that then become, you know, cemented into adulthood, those kids are probably, you know, have some trauma or have been through something traumatic or been through some kind of abuse. So we need to understand and have actual prevention in this country. And this is something that has really been eating at me lately is how we don't have a lot of prevention on mental health issues. And then a lot of adults are having to figure it all out as adults when, you know, we should be taught emotional regulation early on. And I know for myself that barefooting does help with emotional regulation, but you know, so it's going back to the example I was using with the kids, like, you know, needing to make sure everybody is safe is the most important thing. So some things, yes, can be behavioral issues if they're not properly addressed. But at the same time, like, we need to find ways of addressing and dealing with behavior, because a five-year-old doesn't have the emotional regulation skills. And unfortunately, especially with a lot of us on the autism spectrum, a lot of times we don't understand our own emotions and what we're feeling, especially when we're having meltdowns, and because our nervous system is tapped out and is literally malfunctioning. Like, and it's trying to readjust itself, you know? So this is an issue ongoing, and I think that it affects the way up to adulthood with people not knowing emotional regulation. And so I think it's important to give kids the places to feel and experience their emotions. And even for myself, as somebody, you know, with PTSD and autism, like, I have had to learn, you know, how to give myself the safe places to feel and experience and work through my intense emotions, especially when having a meltdown, while knowing that I am safe and while making sure that the other people in my life are also safe. And that can be hard, especially because these skills haven't been taught to children on the scale that they really need to be taught. And so this is something I really want to help push and move forward with. And, you know, barefooting was a huge part in realizing that I had, you know, autism. And barefooting has been a huge part, actually, of my emotional regulation. And I know people may find that crazy, like, okay, well, you know, say, how is, you know, barefooting able to help with your emotional regulation? Like, it doesn't make any sense. Going back to the thing with autism and being neurodivergent, and it can also help ADHD people as well with their emotional regulation and with their sensory issues. When my nervous system is able to be more at peace, because wearing shoes is too overstimulating, it is. So when I'm barefooting, my nervous system is able to, you know, be more at peace and is able to be more regulated, because for me, barefooting is a sensory and a stimulation need, as well as one for my physical body with having some chronic, like, joint, muscle, bone issues, whatever. I've got a lot of stuff wrong with me with, like, chronic illness stuff, but, you know, I'm trying not to get too into detail about it. But, you know, I've got a couple things going on here, so it is also a physical need. And, you know, as an autistic person, like, monitoring my chronic pain is also really important, and being able to work with my body is also important for keeping me from having meltdowns and getting overstimulated, because chronic pain causes an influx level of cortisol, the stress hormone, any chronic health issues are going to. And so barefooting helps me keep my chronic pain and my muscle issues, my mobility issues under control, which helps my nervous system in other ways. And for me, there is a connection between, you know, my fibromyalgia having developed. There's a connection between that and, you know, my autism and my PTSD. And so it's really important for me to keep my nervous system, you know, regulated, and barefooting is a huge way of how I do that. You know, a lot of the times when I get really frustrated and overwhelmed and have a hard time leaving my house, it's usually on times when the weather is a certain way where I know I'm going to have to wear shoes for my safety, or there's a situation where I'm going to have to wear shoes for my safety depending on where I'm going, and it stresses me out because it's, you know, it is the worst. It is one of the worst things, unfortunately, like, for my nervous system. And it's not, yeah, I get it. It sounds dramatic. I get it. For a neurotypical person, that probably sounds dramatic. But, you know, barefooting helps with my mobility. It helps with my fibro. It helps with my osteoarthritis. It helps with my scoliosis. It helps with just my general mobility. It, barefooting helps with my sensory issues. Shoes just really overstimulate me. And when I'm overstimulated, like, that can lead to a meltdown quickly. And so barefooting really helps lessen the meltdowns, and it helps lessen the overstimulation and all the other negative impacts that unfortunately shoes have. And I get it. That might sound dramatic to other people, but we are all different people in different bodies having different human experiences. And, you know, so barefooting for me is also important for my emotional regulation, because when my sensory issues are under control and my stimulation issues under control, I'm able to understand my emotions better and I'm able to emotionally process better. Because when you know, as an autistic person, when I'm overstimulated and when I'm, or I'm having a meltdown, I can't process my emotions the way that I can. You know, it is an altered state of consciousness. And so if barefooting is a natural solution and accommodation for a lot of autistic as well as ADHD people. And so it's really important to understand that allowing us to be neurodivergent in ways that aren't hurting anyone, like barefooting. Now, obviously, if there's a situation where it is unsafe for us to barefoot, then shoes will be used as a tool, but they shouldn't be mandatory for every given circumstance in life, especially when they cause issues with the functionings and operations of individuals like myself and Audrey, who's not here today on the show, and many other people, especially though, it's hard to even imagine how people can act like, you know, we're all the same, but at the same time, neurodivergent issues haven't been talked about. And I think a lot of people who barefoot are neurodivergent. Any barefooting friend that I've had personally in my life, they have been neurodivergent. This isn't just about me. This isn't just about Audrey. Even one of the girls that I nanny, she, who is, you know, on the autism spectrum, she also barefoots all the time and she loves it. And it is hard because, you know, I have to, you know, tell her to put her shoes on in the summer when it gets really hot and the, like, asphalt's too hot for her to walk on. But then, you know, I try to make accommodations of, okay, but, you know, like, we'll make sure we go somewhere there's grass. Like, you just have to wear them when it's, you know, when it's safe, when it's a safer option. But then when you're somewhere that's safe, if barefooting's the safer option for you, because it is in terms of stimulation issues for a lot of us, then you can do that. And it's hard because a lot of people don't understand it. And I've seen how a lot of parents of neurodivergent kids just don't understand it, especially the parent that is neurotypical, because you know, neurodivergency is a genetic thing. So, you know, a lot of times it's going to be at least one parent that is neurodivergent. But the neurotypical parent or holistic parent, a lot of the times they can have a hard time understanding the barefooting too and understanding why their kids need it. But at the same time, there are people who are neurodivergent that have to wear shoes because of their stimulation or sensory issues. And that's understandable too. So we're not here to say that it's one size fits all. Like, but we need to start listening to our bodies as individuals. And we need to give, you know, children and young people autonomy and personal authority over their bodies. Now, that doesn't mean they don't have boundaries and limitations, because they should. But that also, when you start the conversation on autonomy and personal authority and respecting theirs, that's when you can also bring up the conversation of, you know, boundaries with kids and understanding where they need to respect other people's personal autonomy and personal authority of themselves, and understanding also open up the conversation on rules, because, you know, there are a lot of rules that we've had for so long that do not fit everyone, and not all rules are, you know, concrete, set in stone, if that makes any sense. But then the rules that, you know, are vital and important, we need to explain why they're vital and important and why they're crucial. And when we open that conversation to discuss things, we can learn how we can start, you know, making accommodations for each other, realizing that maybe some old rules are actually anti-neurodivergent or could be anti against any other group of person. I can't think of a good example right now, but, you know, when we start opening the conversation on these things, we can start realizing where we need to start making accommodations for, you know, each other, and especially youth, and allowing neurodivergent kids to talk about their experience. I know that I was always told I was dramatic, and then whenever I would try to talk about the experiences I was having as a neurodivergent person, and I always hated wearing shoes as a child, and even that was one of those things that a lot of adults in my life didn't understand, was why I just needed to be barefoot all the time, while others did, and that was really helpful. And like in Audrey has been a really great role model to me throughout my life. You know, she's a full-time barefooter. She put on shoes once this winter, which is awesome. And so she's been a role model throughout my life, with just being able to be myself, and has really helped me embrace my neurodivergency, you know, as a young adult. And it's really been so great for me, and she's been really supportive in my, you know, like autism diagnosing journey. And, you know, I started realizing, you know, through barefooting that a lot of the things I was experiencing that I thought were anxiety were stimulation issues. And then, you know, barefooting also, I realized how much it really does help with my nervous system, and also realized how much it helps with my body. So it's really so important to understand that people barefoot for a lot of reasons. It's not just about, I'm trying to break a rule. Like, that's not it. And also, there are no laws or health codes against barefooting. So chill out, folks, on, you know, at the same time. Like, and, but I think we can understand that some rules are actually more harmful than they are good. And so we can start learning accommodations. And then we can realize that some rules only apply in certain situations. So again, and then that's when we can start practicing discernment and deciding when, you know, something like shoes are necessary as a tool, when is it safe? Because, like, you know, I, you know, barefoot at stores, I barefoot sidewalk outside my apartment, like, I barefoot parks, like, whatever. But if I was going to, like, a junkyard or something, I would put shoes on for my protection and safety, you know? But if I'm, and just live in my daily life in a place where it's not a threat, there's no threat to being barefoot, then, like, I'm going to be barefoot. So it's understand that, like, yes, I get it. You can't barefoot 24/7 always, depending on, you know, like, as a blanket statement. That's, you know, now some people may be able to, depending on their lives and, you know, what they've got going on and what their routines are and what kind of environments they're in. But other people, you know, I think we had somebody that we had on sometime last year that was talking about how he was a chemist, and because for his job, like, he has to wear shoes for his safety. And, you know, like, construction workers, they have to wear shoes for their safety, but they also have to wear special type of shoes. My partner working in HVAC has to wear, you know, special type of shoes. A lot of people in trades jobs do. There's a lot of jobs, there's, you know, in different things like that where you have to wear shoes for your safety or whatever, you know, and that makes sense. But in your everyday life, that doesn't mean that they're 100% necessary. So yes, there may be some situations where the rule of having shoes is the safest option and is a liability thing, and but it's a reasonable liability, you know, reason. But then, but it's not something that is needed all the time. But then at the same time, some people with their sensory issues may need to wear shoes all the time for whatever reason. Sorry, I'm like popping my knuckles. My hands are so tight. Ugh. But I don't know. It's just really important to understand that we need to each listen to our own body, and we need to be respecting of each other's bodies. And when we open the conversation on rules and accommodations, and we can have a whole conversation on boundaries and personal autonomy and authority, having our own respected, respecting others, and that's how, you know, we can have much healthier relationships and connections. And it's like, okay, but how does barefooting doing this? You'd be amazed how many people, including, you know, myself and other barefooting friends that I know, even at Audrey too, where we've had so many people that say they love us, say they respect us, say they understand us, but then they feel the need to just invalidate our need for barefooting, even though it is the best thing for, one of the best things that I can easily, accessibly do for my body. What people don't understand is mental and physical disabilities in this country, there are almost no real resources, and there's almost no real accessibility, especially when you are an adult. And barefooting is one of the most simple ways that you can accommodate, create accessibility. It's not, it's really not that hard to accommodate. And if your environment is so dangerous that barefooting is a threat, maybe you need to reevaluate that environment. Because if it's a classroom or even at, whether that's college or any age level, if there is going to be some kind of threat to why you can't, you have to be like, well, our kids can't barefoot, then there is a safety threat that needs to be addressed. If it is not safe to barefoot in a store, then there is a safety issue that needs to be addressed. If Americans want to call ourselves the greatest country on earth, then we need to work towards that. And we need to elect people that are going to help us work towards that. And I'm not saying this to get political. I'm not going to tell you how to believe. I'm not going to tell you how to vote. That's not why we're here. And I know there are, you know, certain things that, you know, like, I'm so, you know, we need to kind of shy away from on here. So I'm not going to tell you what to believe, but if you're so worried about barefooting, not being safe in environments that really should be safe, that is an issue of safety within communities and classrooms and stores within this country that needs to be addressed. It is. And also body autonomy is an issue that needs to be addressed here. If our body autonomy is going to be questioned over something as simple as our feet, and we've seen how far they have taken it in other areas with different demographics. So if you are somebody that supports body autonomy, you can start with supporting barefoot is legal. It's that simple, because all parts of our body need to be respected. The moment we start acting like we can't have autonomy over one part of our body, that's the moment all parts of the body go up in the air for people to decide whether or not we have rights over them or we have autonomy over that. When our bodies are our own individual bodies, we are our own people to govern. And I would really like to see sovereignty restored to the people in terms of so many things, but especially autonomy over our bodies and our families and our communities and our children. And I'm not saying autonomy is the way of then violating those other people's autonomies, but unfortunately there are a lot of situations in this country where parents can't even make the best decisions for their children. In terms of their safety, in terms of their health care, in terms of disability accommodation, in terms of their safety because of their skin color. And that is sad. You know, it makes me angry and it makes me sad. So we need to start somewhere. And I'm sorry if this got a little too political and a lot off topic, but also I'm not really sorry, because we need unity. We need to come together and start respecting each other's needs, our bodies, our emotional needs, our mental needs, our stimulation needs, respecting each other so that way we can be accommodating while also having everyone's boundaries respected. How can we add value and understand each other? Because when we're each adding value back and forth, then we're in a process of reciprocity, a place of giving and being receptive and receptacle, and we are able to have unity and equilibrium when we all have our own boundaries and our own sovereignty governing ourselves and governing those people that are responsibility, because, you know, especially smaller children, those are your responsibility. But then also make way for teaching children about their personal authority and their personal autonomy. So when it is your time to no longer have to watch over them, so that way when they are adults, I mean, obviously you're always going to have to watch over people you love in a way, but when they become adults, you can fully let go and know that they are empowered and they are informed and they are aware and they know how to emotionally regulate and they understand their needs and they understand how to treat other people. And it sounds crazy, but I've been realizing that the reason why so many people don't respect barefooting is because of these issues I mentioned. We have issues within this country. We have issues within this global world, society, whatever, global society, this world, whatever you want to call it. And we need to start respecting each other And it's crazy how many people try to question me on, you know, my right to barefoot, even myself, you know, but I, you know, recite in my head over and over again, every time before I go anywhere, there are no laws or health codes against barefooting. Any policies in a public place or a place that is open to the public against barefooting are illegal and are actually a violation of my protected rights. If you barefoot for spiritual, cultural, religious reasons and medical reasons, and that includes, you know, autism or ADHD, that is a protected right. There are no laws or health codes against being barefoot in public. There are no laws or health codes against driving barefoot. Excuse me. That's actually one that keeps coming up. Like, when I'm talking to people, like, oh, well, there are no laws or health codes against barefooting in public places, and even people are open to that. And they're respected. They're like, yeah, but there's still ones about driving, aren't there, right? Or they say it like it is a fact, and I'm like, well, yeah, but there's still ones against, you know, driving and barefoot, you know? And then I'll just be like, no, there aren't. That's actually not true. It's actually safer to drive barefoot than in most shoes. There's a high rate of accidents every year. I don't know the exact statistic, but there's a high rate of accidents every year from people wearing sandals, flip-flops, or even different types of high heel shoes while driving and getting into accidents because their shoe got caught in the pedal. Driving barefoot is actually so much safer, and it's actually so funny that people think that it's not, but I'm like, as somebody, you know, who with sensory issues and sensory sensitivities, and that's why, you know, it's hard to wear shoes, but then other times, I do have to wear shoes because of my sensory sensitivities in certain environments, more so than other barefooters, which is annoying, and I personally just don't like it myself, and it's something that, like, I even hate sometimes, but I also have to learn to accommodate myself in those ways as well, but then it also can cause issues in other ways. So, you know, it does suck, you know, when I have to, but, sorry, my brain got a little topic. But as somebody, you know, with, like, sensory sensitivities and sensory issues, like, I swear I can feel the pedals so much better when I'm barefoot. Like, you can feel the pedals. You can tell where your foot is. Like, it's actually a lot safer, and you're actually a lot more aware. I know Audrey's talked a lot, too. Unfortunately, you know, she couldn't be on today because of medical reasons, but she's okay. You know, she's safe, guys. Don't worry. But she's going to be here today, but, like, she's talked a lot about how, like, yeah, like, it helps with sensory awareness and being alert, and I definitely agree, and it's just very important to understand that there are legitimate reasons why people barefoot, and we need to respect each other's body autonomy, and when we respect each other's body autonomy, like, that would fix a lot of issues, and, you know, barefooting is helpful with emotional regulation, because when I'm not, you know, being bombarded by the negative sensory experience of wearing shoes, everything just flows better. Also, my physical body flows better. And then I can process all the information, all the thoughts and the feelings and sensations in my brain and my body so much better. And a lot of other neurodivergent people can. So there are a lot of reasons why we do it. I'm going to run a quick ad break real quick, and then we'll be back. This is Barefoot is Legal. And again, Barefoot is Legal is a 501c3 nonprofit organization dedicated to the rights and legalities of living the barefoot lifestyle, as well as other general support, information, and just awareness around barefooting. And, yeah, so we'll be back.
Earthing, also known as grounding, is the act of touching our body's skin directly to the earth, just like our ancestors did as they slept, sat, and walked on the ground nearly every day of their lives. This simple connection allows Earth's natural negative electrons to enter the human body, pacifying dangerous free radicals, which, if left unchecked, can cause severe damage to cells that can lead to many chronic diseases. Ground Therapy's patented process and suite of products were designed for you to experience all the benefits of grounding in your busy and modern lifestyle. and you'll experience the benefits of grounding within the safety and comfort of your home or office throughout the entire day, just as if you were touching the earth itself.
The information is provided for general informational purposes only. The contents are not intended or implied to be a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Ground Therapy Incorporated makes no representations about the efficiency, appropriateness, or suitability of any specific tests, procedures, treatments, services, opinions, healthcare providers, or other information that may be contained in or available through the information provided.
Freaks, outsiders, weirdos, the wallflowers, oddball loser, fish out of water, speak up, talk quieter. We are different. There's no arguing. It's a fact. A patchwork of flaws, we grow and adapt. We're funky, unconventional. See life through kaleidoscope eyes. In a field full of clovers, with our four leaves, we bask in blue skies. Flaws are natural. Our imperfections, our weaknesses, our scars. There is a misfit in all of us. We just have to be brave enough to embrace who we are.
Most people say they hate wearing shoes and would go barefoot if they knew they were allowed. People say it all the time on their social medias. But they are worried that someone will say something to them. So everyone wears the cheapest flip-flops with the least amount of fabric on them. Most people do not even know that it's completely 100% legal to go barefoot into a store. Most people think that driving barefoot is illegal. But it isn't. Driving barefoot actually is safer than wearing most shoes. Going outside barefoot for a walk is one of the healthiest things you could do, but most people are afraid someone will say so. Or they quote the myths and the rumors that their grandma told them years ago. The fact is, there are no laws against driving a car, going to a store, or eating in a restaurant barefoot. So don't give in to bad fashion, hurt heels, or a broken flip-flop. For more information, please check out barefootislegal.org or find us on your favorite social media.
Of all the grounding studies, the one that really got our attention is called Electric Grounding Improves Vagal Tone in Preterm Infants. In the study, 26 premature babies in an NICU were connected to grounding wires. The heart rates of the grounded infants stabilized, and their vagal tone, a critical measure of infant health, increased by 67% with grounding.
The information is provided for general informational purposes only. The contents are not intended or implied to be a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Ground Therapy Incorporated makes no representations about the efficiency, appropriateness, or suitability of any specific tests, procedures, treatments, services, opinions, healthcare providers, or other information that may be contained in or available through the information provided.
Hey everyone, Proof here again. I want to let you know that you want to protect yourself against this upcoming food shortage that's about to happen. I know with all this COVID stuff that growing your own food is going to be extremely important right now. So I want to introduce you to my friends over at groundwithagarden.com, and you can get yourself hooked up with a vertical garden that you can grow inside or outside of your house. So if you have a back patio or you don't have room outside, you can grow in either way. And I have a bunch of stuff growing on mine. I have pictures to share. I love this thing. This is the best garden and most successful that I've ever had for gardening for my own self. So let me give you the website again, groundwithagarden.com. That's groundwithagarden.com.
I've heard stories from teachers in classes where their students are grounded that they have half the level of referrals for discipline. Some students who were in tears because they were experiencing success when before they were experiencing failure with their behavior and discipline. I've heard stories from teachers with autistic children who have been grounded where they have less of what they call the meltdowns. And the meltdowns are less frequent and shorter, and they come back into the classroom and they're learning more than they had learned prior to the grounding. It's amazing what happens, not just with the teacher at the front of the class, but what can happen with a student sitting in the class. And just think, if every single student and every single teacher and every single classroom and every single school across this whole world was grounded.
The information is provided for general informational purposes only. The contents are not intended or implied to be a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Ground Therapy Incorporated makes no representations about the efficiency, appropriateness, or suitability of any specific tests, procedures, treatments, services, opinions, healthcare providers, or other information that may be contained in or available through the information provided.
Most people say they hate wearing shoes and would go barefoot if they knew they were allowed. People say it all the time on their social medias. But they are worried that someone will say something to them. So everyone wears the cheapest flip-flops with the least amount of fabric on them. Most people do not even know that it's completely 100% legal to go barefoot into a store. Most people think that driving barefoot is illegal, but it isn't. Driving barefoot actually is safer than wearing most shoes. Going outside barefoot for a walk is one of the healthiest things you could do, but most people are afraid someone will say something. Or they quote the myths and the rumors that their grandma told them years ago. The fact is, there are no laws against driving a car, going to a store, or eating in a restaurant barefoot. So don't give in to bad fashion, hurt heels, or a broken flip-flop. For more information, please check out barefootislegal.org or find us on your favorite social media.
Hello. Ended up taking a little extra long break, I think. Lost a little bit track of how many ads I was playing. Sorry about that. But this is Barefoot is Legal Radio. Barefoot is Legal is a 501c3 nonprofit organization dedicated to the rights and legalities of living the barefoot lifestyle, as well as just other support information and, you know, expanding on general awareness around barefooting. And so there are no laws or health codes against barefooting. There are no laws against driving barefoot. So if you are somebody that has been, you know, thinking about, you know, getting into barefooting, or you feel more safer and more comfortable barefooting, then do it. Start, try it, you know, embrace it, love it. And it is also a process. You know, it's not something that you can just do overnight. You know, it's not, I get that. I get that it is a process of even just like developing like that toughness, you know, developing calluses. And it's a process of understanding when and where to barefoot, when it's best for you, how barefooting is best for you. And then, you know, the best way you can do that is like, you know, listen to your body. Obviously, but I like, okay, but like, you know, that's also not probably the best advice either. I get that. You know, if you're new to it, you're like, okay, listen to my body. I get it. But like, where do I start? The best places to start, honestly, can just be in your backyard. If you live in an apartment complex, like any patch of grass out there, like, you know, like, around you, if you can go on a walk in the grass around you, or, you know, walk in your backyard, or even just sit in your backyard, or, you know, sit at a park and be able to just touch your feet to the grass. If you have issues with grass, you know, try the concrete and, you know, maybe start with concrete that's shadier in the sense of, excuse me. Maybe start with concrete that is, you know, like shadier, that is like less exposed to the sun, especially since we're getting into late spring. Summer officially starts with the, not vernal, sorry, the summer solstice. My brain died for, no, I didn't die, I'm sorry. My brain stopped for a second, sorry, the neurodivergentness. Yeah, but with the summer solstice, that marks the start of summer, and that's not until June 1st. this year. Yeah, I can actually double check. Yeah, according to East Standard Time, the summer solstice will be June 1st at 10:57 a.m. So we still have about a month left of spring, but we're getting into that, like, hotter spring. I know I've got on some hikes here recently where it has gotten pretty hot, at least my opinion. So, you know, definitely with it coming up on summer, you definitely want to be more careful with, you know, like asphalt versus concrete. I know for myself, when I first got into barefooting in 2020, really, because like I've always kind of barefooted. I always hated wearing shoes. It was this whole thing. But when I really got into barefooting in 2020, I noticed that, you know, concrete was a lot easier than asphalt in those hotter days. So, you know, maybe if you're new to it, maybe, yeah, unfortunately, like carry around a pair of shoes or flip-flops or slippers or even socks that you can put on. Like, honestly, even socks help a lot, like, if you're new to it, because there were a lot of times where I wanted to barefoot, or even now, like, a lot of times, too, if it's, like, the ground's too hot for me or if it's too cold outside for me with my sensitivities, I'll just barefoot with socks. So that way it's, like, having, like, the warmth for my feet, you know, is – but it, and so it's like having a coat, but I don't have the problem with shoes. Like, you know, and also, you know, shoes, a lot, most of them have rubber soles, which stops the flow of electrons. And it's barefooting and grounding studies that have been developing for a while, but they definitely have been popping off, I would say, in the last 10 years. Especially recently, it's been becoming a more recognized thing, especially as people are starting to understand electromagnetic energy and electromagnetism more. But if we have too much electrical energy in our bodies, and remember, like, our brains and our hearts are electric, but so if we have too much electrical energy in our bodies, that can cause issues. That can cause issues with heart conditions. And I would say, too, that, like, for, as a neurodivergent person, I would, you know, it definitely, not being grounded has a lot of issues with my mental health, with being neurodivergent, and just general, like, cognitive processing. And I haven't found too much information. It is really hard to find good information on this stuff, especially since, you know, it's something that's not really as recognized, hasn't been as recognized in mainstream science since, like, grounding and barefooting and earthing studies started. Like, it really was something that at first wasn't accepted by mainstream academia, but it is becoming more and more accepted because of the empirical evidence around it. So one person I would look into is Christopher Ober. He's done a lot of stuff with barefooting studies. Yeah, let me double check. And I've got his name right. Not Chris. I'm sorry, guys. Clint. It's Clint. Never mind. I'm not Chris. That was the name that came up before when I looked it up. Sorry about that. No, so Clint Ober. So Clint Ober, he's done a lot with grounding, and he's been, like, a pioneer of a lot of stuff. So he's somebody that if you're interested in looking into, you know, some of the research more yourself, and then if you, whatever you come up with, you want to share with us at Barefoot is Legal, so that way we can share it with other people. You can reach out to us through the Instagram, Real Barefoot is Legal. You can email me at The Venetian Phoenix, THEVENUSIANPHOENIX. Yeah, so you can at Gmail. So if you want to email me at the Venetian Phoenix, Venetian as in Venus, if that helps. I know a lot of people have already done spelling it, but yeah. So if you want to email me, VenetianPhoenix at Gmail, even to any research you find on grounding or barefooting that you want to share with Barefoot is Legal, you can do that. Or you can reach out to the Instagram. Audrey is admin for that, Real Barefoot is Legal on Instagram. But if you go to Real Barefoot is Legal on Instagram, in our Linktree bio link, there's links for the shows, but there's also some links to stuff that we've found so far on grounding and earthing research. And there is a cardiologist that talks in one of the videos. I can't remember which one it is, looking at it, but he does also talk about, I think it's Dr. Sinatra on grounding in our Linktree link. But, you know, he does talk about, like, heart issues and stuff, how grounding helps with that. And then the earthing health implications of reconnecting the human body to the earth's surface electrons is a really great one. It has a lot of information. Clint Ober is actually mentioned in this, some of his research. And there's a Sinatra mentioned, and I'm not sure if it's the same other one mentioned before. I need to double check on that, but yeah, so there's a lot of great information here, and this is published with the National Library of Medicine, National Center for Biotechnology Information, which I use them to cite a lot in college, actually, for my psychology major. So we do have resources up on the link in the link tree on Real Barefoot is Legal on Instagram. So please definitely check that out. But if you guys want to come up, you know, and have the free time or have the drive and motivation or whatever, I want to take that initiative and then want to share that with us, we would greatly appreciate it. You know, we want to be a connected, collaborative community. We want to be able to, you know, hear more from you guys and have a more of an understanding of how we can even better, like, the barefooting community. So if there's any, you know, even concerns that you want to address or even questions in particular or topics that you would like us to research, that you'd like to reach out with, again, you can email me at the Venetian Phoenix at Gmail about that. And, you know, I can, you know, start making, you know, kind of having a place to direct my, you know, deep diving. For me, being on the autism spectrum, I love researching. That's how I show it. I am a research girly. I've been a research girly since I was first introduced to the internet. Like, but unfortunately, you know, it is hard to keep up on it when it's having issues with my nervous system and other delays and issues. But, you know, I am planning on, you know, I've been working to put together some more stuff that we can share with you guys. But if you guys have any, you know, directions in the sense of where, like, what area you want us to kind of focus more on, you know, let me know and let us know. And we can focus more on different areas and aspects of barefooting, but in the Linktree link, and I can even just give you guys the link. I think it's actually, oh no, it's not in the bio on the show currently on Blog Talk Radio, but the link for it is, I'm going to give it to you, so even if you guys want to just you know, like, punch it in the computer. You can have the link. Sorry. It doesn't show up on my end when I have the things I have to do. Okay. So, yeah, it is linktree.ee/barefootislegal. So you should be able to put that even in the web browser, and I'll even test it now to make sure. Yeah, it works. Okay, so even if you just want to type in your laptop link, tr.ee/barefootislegal, that's how you can access our link tree. Yeah, so I have got we've got the show links. We've got Barefoot is Legal. There is some updating of our Barefoot is Legal website that does need to happen. Unfortunately, our founder is dealing with some medical issues right now. I'm not going to get into. So please be kind and please be patient with the organization. Unfortunately, a lot of us have things going on right now. So please be kind and patient with each other. We are working on some of these issues. So I know that there is some stuff when you click the barefootislegal.org link that do still need updated. But there are other grounding and earthing resources in the link tree that I'm looking through now. So hopefully those guys, those will help you guys out. We do want to hear more from you guys in the sense of, what kind of questions and issues we can address. I know that it is sometimes hard with the the current links of our show to be able to every week get into all of the topics and be able to address everything and still have time to be able to get callers on. We just don't know if we have any callers this week, but I know other weeks when it's been both Audrey and I, when we've had a lot to talk about, that we haven't been able to get other callers on because of the time format currently. But even if you can just reach out and message through Real Barefoot is Legal. Yeah, Real Barefoot. Why can't I talk right now? At Real Barefoot is Legal on Instagram. Thank you. Sorry. And you can reach out to us. Or you can reach out to me at the Venetian Phoenix on Instagram. Or email me at venetianphoenix@gmail.com. I'll be honest, when I'm in states of regulating my nervous system, I am not the best at messaging or getting back to people. But when I am, in in those places and spaces where, with my nervous system being regulated, where I can, tackle these issues and research things and we can start putting more projects together to share information that you guys, really want to hear, let us know, and we can. Obviously, keep all messaging family-friendly, appropriate. Do not, and I'm not saying that, in the sense of overly censoring what you're saying in a normal conversation, but I'm talking, do not be unsolicitedly, sexual or anything like that. Nobody wants to be catcalled. And even if it's about barefooting or even if it's just in DM, nobody wants that. That is harassment. So no harassment type of messages. And that goes for anybody that you may be messaging or interacting with within the Barefoot is Legal community on Facebook even. And if you are having an issue experiencing any harassment of any kind, please address that with the admin team on Facebook and they will take care of it. That is not something that we want, to have. And if anybody is leaving negative hateful comments ever at all on the Facebook page, definitely address it with the admin team and they will take care of it because, we are we want to be a loving, supportive community. And I don't know if I'd be loving as in super savvy and emotional, but empathetic, just caring. And we want to be able to be collaborative. So, just be nice. And I'm not saying that there's a lot of problems with that in the barefooting community, but unfortunately I've noticed a lot with the internet, it has made way for a lot of people to hide behind the screen and be able to say a lot of negative opinions, while other people are using it to just share and spread information and resources and, you know, to stand up for what's right. And other people just want to, you know, do crappy things with it because some people are crappy. And so if that is ever a problem, definitely address it, because I feel like, unfortunately, we do see that a lot on the internet in general nowadays. And here at Barefoot is Legal, like, we want to be able to support and uplift each other. So if there's anybody that you feel like is, you know, bringing, you know, the community down in, you know, the Facebook group by being, you know, leaving negative or hateful comments, like, definitely let us know. And the admin team will take care of that. And you can reach out to the admin team. And so also, if you don't know, there is a, you know, Facebook page and a private group. This is Barefoot is Legal on Facebook, and so you can check out those. I couldn't link the private group in our link tree, unfortunately, though, because it is a private group. And you just have to ask them some questions, and it's just meant to weed out any of the people that are just there for bad reasons, unfortunately, like, you know, some people. So it's not like we're being selective in the sense that, like, we're being exclusive. Just ask some basic questions to make sure that the people who want to be in the Facebook group are actual Barefooters. That's all the questions are there for. It's not to be, like, exclusive or weird, because we don't want that either, but we want to make sure that everybody's there is there for the right reasons, you know, and that is to, like, be part of the barefooting community and to come together, you know, and support each other. But I do know that the Facebook Barefoot is Legal public page is linked in the Linktree bio as well. So you guys can definitely check that out. I've had some pretty decent barefooting experiences recently myself, but I've also had some weird experiences. I know I talked about one, I think, last week on the show. I really haven't had any weird experiences. I mean, I've had more of, like, indifferent experiences where I can see that, like, some people notice this by the look on their face. They might have, like, an issue with it, or the way they're acting, they might have an issue with it. But they're very indifferent. It's like, they respect my rights, I respect their rights, you know, which is important because, like, there can be indifference, you know, and some people are going to be indifferent. Not everybody is going to be, like, super supportive about it, unfortunately. But as long as people are, you know, either, you know what I mean, like, at least keeping their indifference, you know, and just keeping it to themselves rather than, like, you know, being discriminatory or being hateful or being negative, as long as that's not happening, like, indifference can be really great, like, honestly. And I know sometimes when you have those indifferent experiences, it can, like, suck sometimes even because you're, like, it was so awkward, it was so weird. But sometimes I have to remind myself that, like, indifference is actually, like, really great, because when a person can have a completely different viewpoint as you and still respect your viewpoint, or, you know, you're right, and in this case somebody could just not be okay with barefooting, but they still respect your right and respect you to just be yourself and are indifferent about it, like, even though they may not agree with it, may not like it, like, that is still better, because that shows that they at least respect you as a person and respect your right to believe, and they respect your freedoms, even if they don't agree with it. And that's the thing too, is it sometimes indifference is the best thing, you know. So I've had some experiences lately where it's been more so, like, indifference, and even that has been nice and welcoming. I'm not even gonna lie, because I would rather people be indifferent, because I recognize that multiple realities exist. Everybody's got their own truth. Everybody's got the thing that's right for them. What's right for me is not what's right for everyone. And so I respect that, like, we're all just different people existing, having a human experience, and we're, you know, approaching our human experience through other past human experiences, but through our perception, through our level of awareness, our types of awareness, what we've been made aware of, while other people may be made aware of other sides of the same coin. So it's really important to, you know, just, like, understand and humanize each other and have humanity with each other, and recognize that we are all different. Sometimes indifference is nice. There was a place that I did go into today, and my isn't even about the business, but it did really bother me because, you know, unfortunately, small businesses, you know, do not have the same rights and treatments that corporations do, even with like manufacturers already having faulty goods. And then it's the manufacturer's fault. It's not even the business's fault. And how, you know, small businesses don't get the same write-offs that big corporations, like big corporation stores, would for, malfunctioning products that are from another, you know, manufacturer. And I don't know why, but that really got under my skin because, you know, I went there barefoot as I would, and, you know, it was a good experience. And I was, you know, talking to one of the workers there, and, you know, we were just talking, and that was something that, you know, brought up. And it just really blew my mind that, unfortunately, a lot of small businesses are not given, you know, the same benefits as big corporations. And I think sometimes too, it's like nice, you know, that a lot more people will be accepting of barefooting than you think. And, you know, going into this one small business and a lot of the workers, you know, don't mind, you know, the barefooting or anything. And where, you know, I can have these conversations with people, and I mean, they're wearing shoes and stuff, like, you know, it's not like they're barefooters too, like they're wearing shoes, but, you know, we can just have this level of humanity and talk to, you know, each other in general. And I do not promote nicotine usage or anything, but, you know, it was a, you know, nicotine product, unfortunately, that I used to deal with my chronic pain issues and stuff. And it's, you know, one of the only things that helps. I do not condone it. I do not encourage it. I do not promote it. But to find out that if, you know, this nicotine good is, which, and I just want to focus on the fact that it's a good, you know, not even promoting, the fact that a good that could be sold, like a product, can be sold that it doesn't work because of the manufacturer, small businesses don't get the same leeway and the same tax write-offs that corporation stores would, like a lot of the, you know, supermarkets that you go into. If there is a good that is defect, or, you know, we're like a product that's defective and it's because of the manufacturer, those big corporations are going to get tax write-offs. But there are small businesses that are actually throwing money down the drain for even allowing people to, you know, test their products before they leave the door, depending on the small business. Some are doing this out of the kindness of their heart because they don't have to let you do that. And they're putting money down the drain to try to be able to sell a good product when they're not going to get the same tax write-off that a corporation is going to get for a defective good from another manufacturer. It blows my mind. And this was a conversation, though, that I had while I was barefooting. So it does overlay, and I do think it's something we need to talk about in general. That was just one of the things I wanted to share with y'all, and this was an experience I had barefooting. So it's actually really interesting because I feel like you can meet and you can mingle with all kinds of different people. We don't all have to be barefooters to get along. We can all just be our own people and exist, and, you know, so when I'm able to go into stores or in small businesses where I'm able to talk to people while barefooting and they're kinder and, you know, we're able to just have real conversations and just be people, it's really nice how much information you can learn and what you can learn about the world and what you can learn about different businesses and just the way that things function. I feel like, and also I'm a neurodivergent person, so I can be a chatty Cathy, at least the way that I show it, because I'm a little hyperverbal. But when I'm able to just have these good conversations with people being barefoot and they're respective of it, and sometimes people start conversations on it and will ask me about my barefooting, and I'm actually able to educate them. So I hope this like helps encourage people to understand that like some people, yes, may not have a good reaction to your barefooting, but sometimes when you find those places where you can just barefoot and be yourself and people accept you, like you can still connect and interact with people in the public and it not being a weird thing. Like people, there are people out there going to accept you. Like, you know, we may deal with some criticism and backlash going into public places and exercising our protected right as barefooters to just barefoot in places open to the public. And that includes any stores or businesses. When we are able to do that and other people respect that right, like we can learn so much from each other. So I encourage others to just keep respecting each other's rights and keep respecting each other's personal authority and autonomy and boundaries. And there's so much that we can learn from each other when we do that. And there's a lot of things that we can share and shed light on and then later address ourselves or with other people. And, you know, I mean, small businesses in America do have it a lot better than a lot of countries around the globe, unfortunately. And, you know, as Americans, like, we do have more economic freedom, but we still need to, you know, acknowledge and address the issues and just to be able to, you know, work together. And I've noticed that there are a lot of policies and issues with a lot of businesses surrounding barefooting and around being accepting of neurodivergent people, when if we could just go back to the basics and respect each other's body autonomy and each other's rights, like we could fix a lot of these underlying issues by just simply respecting each other, respecting each other's bodies and our own rights to govern ourselves. So yeah, and I know some of these things got a little off topic and maybe it did, but I also want to spread awareness and address, but just got the 90-second warning, so we are running out of time, folks. But Barefoot is Legal will be back next Saturday. And so you will be able to listen then again, but you can also listen to us through Indie Mix 105 Internet Radio on Sundays at like 4 a.m. or something. Not the best time slot right now, but honestly, I'm a night owl, so if you're a night owl like us, or if you just get up really early. But you can check us out at Instagram at Real Barefoot is Legal. And in the Linktree bio link, you'll be able to find some more information and more links to things. So thank you for listening. Take care and keep living your best barefoot lifestyle. There are no laws or health codes against barefooting in public spaces in the United States. And there are no laws against driving barefoot. So know your rights, stand up for yourself, and keep living your best barefoot lifestyle. Sending love to all of you. So you'll hear from us next week. Bye-bye.